Hi everybody, this is Sam. So you're about to listen to our Black Widow hot takes, and that night was the night of technical difficulties. There were a lot of problems with the audio, some microphones that were malfunctioning, some connections not being too great. I edited out the most of it, the biggest parts of it, so the worst of it is out of there, but there are some still in there. Some people might be a little quieter than others. Bear with us. But if that is something that you don't want to listen to, this is just a disclaimer that there are some audio difficulties. But thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast for the Marvel Champions Living Card Game by Fantasy Flight Games. Today, we're going to do some quick discussion on the new hero that was revealed. I'm joined by Matt. Matt, how are you doing?
Doing great today. How are you, Carlos?
I'm doing good now that I started doing this podcast. A little bit of a rough afternoon, but sometimes, you know, nothing that cannot be solved, so everything's fine. And Sam, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm very prepared for this stream.
So since we're doing this live, I think somebody should count the number of prepared puns.
Oh, I got it.
Somebody should be prepared with a note and pen to take down how many prepared puns we do. So before we continue, while we continue, we're going to do some Marvel musings with Matt. Matt, what do you have for us today?
Okay, well, first up is, Black Widow. She has Dinoclonks, but really who hasn't? But how she came back is kind of unique because usually they don't like touching in comics anymore. The current Black Widow is a clone. They had a whole bunch of them up in the Red Room where they trained Black Widows, and then one got out, got her memories, and has been working her way back in now.
Is there any personality difference between her and the original?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't read it too much, but I just know there's a clone.
Well, maybe her ally will be a clone. continuing on, should we get this discussion started? We're going to do some hot takes on Black Widow that was revealed today on the FFG stream. And then we had an article that revealed a couple of new cards. Sam, do you want to get this discussion started?
All right. So I got to say, I absolutely loved this hero when they spoiled her today. I think everything that she does and everything she wants to do is really cool, and it's something that I would enjoy more. I think she is really subtle about flipping, that you really want to be flipping a lot without like an inherent ability that basically outright says that you want to flip, like Kamala. Oh god, more prepared puns. Are we prepared for this episode? Not enough.
Why the prepared puns? Why does that matter for this episode?
Because Black Widow is all about the preparation keyword on cards she wants to play. She all triggers off of preparation cards, both on her alter ego and her hero, which we should probably read before.
Yeah. I was going to tell you to read the identity card, starting off with Natasha Romanoff. Okay, Natasha Romanoff, she is the alter ego side of Black Widow. She has 3 recovery, traded, shield, and spy. And her ability reads mission prep, response. After you play a preparation card, draw 1 card, limit once per phase. Her hand size is 6, and her hit points are 9. Matt, do you want to do Black Widow?
Sure thing. We got Black Widow. She has 2 thwarts, 2 attack, 2 defense. She's an Avenger and a spy. And she has the ability Widowmaker. Response. After you trigger the ability preparation card you control, deal 1 damage to an enemy. This is not limited by anything. You can trigger this as many times as you trigger a preparation.
You know, first thing I would like to say before we get into the whole discussion about preparation, I was surprised by his stat line. 2-2-2, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I was expecting a 1 somewhere. Like, she has a better stat line than Thor without the hammer, which is kind of weird to me. I don't know where I was expecting.
Thor is 1 defense or 1 thwart, right?
1 thwart.
1 defense. Yeah. Yeah, no, sorry, I mixed that up. Yeah, 1 thwart. I think it's mixed up because she has low hit points. She's very fragile.
Yeah, I would imagine that her original stat line was probably 2-2-1, and then they probably in place testing with that really low hit points and no way to get it, and seemingly no way to get it higher, that 1 defense was really affecting.
She's also only got 3 recovery, so.
Yeah, I think she's going to really like the endurance and downtime. She definitely wants a downtime. Maybe an endurance too. I don't know. I don't usually run both in a deck. I think with her, I'd rather use downtime. But I think that's where the subtlety comes for wanting to flip a lot. Because you don't want to take too much damage. And then if you flip, you're going to get extra cards. Or essentially your preparations are going to cost 1 less. But then when you flip and you trigger all of them, you're going to do a lot of damage too. So I think depending on how many preparations she comes with, I think she'll be really, really good.
So how does this preparation thing work? What's like the main mechanic? Because, you know, you read her abilities and you don't get right away an idea of what she's doing. What are these preparation cards?
So let's start with reading the first preparation card, Grappling Hook. Sam, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so Grappling Hook is a 2-cost upgrade. It's a preparation, tech, traded. So this is a preparation card. It has a hero interrupt. When you reveal a treachery card, discard Grappling Hook to cancel the effects of that treachery and discard it. It has a mental icon as well.
Preparations are basically upgrades that you play and then you will allow you to do things in the villain phase.
Yeah, yeah, generally they're like reactions to the villain. It's basically like an event that you store in preparation for later.
Yeah, it really is what it is. It's a preparation. You prepare for something that's going to happen, and when it happens, you have the option to respond to it. So a lot of these are going to be interrupts and responses. So like with the grappling hook,
they're trap cards basically.
Yeah, with the grappling hook, you just play it out. If you're Natasha, you're going to play it, draw a card, and then you're going to flip over, and if you get a treachery like Shadows of the Past, you're going to have, oh, I have a grappling hook, I'm going to cancel that treachery, and now I get to also do a damage to an enemy. So
yeah, I really like Grappling Hook, and the idea of like why, for example, Grappling Hook, even though it costs more, it's better than something like the Enhanced Spider Sense or Get Behind Me, is that 1, it doesn't have a bad effect like Get Behind Me has, where the villain will attack you, and 2, the issue with Enhanced Spider Sense and even Get Behind Me too, and any sort of treachery response that you have while in hand, is that you have to hold a card in hand or be lucky enough to draw it the turn that you're going to need it. And most of the time, that is basically blocking you from having another card. So you have to constantly make that choice. Do I keep this card in hand and not draw the cards that I need for the eventual moment that I might or might not need it? But with Grappling Hook, you play it on the board and you just have it there. And if you spend three turns and you don't see a treachery worth canceling, then that doesn't matter. Like, you just, it's there. It's there ready for that moment that you really need it. And I think, like, it's having that be the first upgrade that we see from her is very interesting, because it kind of like replaces her ally. So you're not worried anymore the fact that somebody's playing Black Widow on your table. It's like, I can't bring the Black Widow ally anymore. It's like, well, I got Grappling Hook to kind of like help with that.
Yeah, and I want to point out some stuff in the chat. So Alduk says it's not forced, so you can use it when you want to. And Apo also noted that this cancels the effect of the card, which does get around Surge, which is not something noticed at first. So that is amazing for starters. And I think Matt touched on this in the stream today, is that the hero is gonna, this card kind of embodies the ally and shows that they're still like related ability wise but this, the hero just builds upon the ally. And I think when it comes to this kind of mechanic, is that it really is just responsive without restricting your hand, which I think is something else Matt touched on, is that the problem with the original idea was that it really restricted your hand because you wanted to hold back these cards, but you also didn't because you want to draw new ones. With preparations, yeah, you don't really have to worry about that. You just play it out and trigger it.
Okay. There's a question. How much do you guys think that you're losing by running Black Widow, the hero, versus the ally, when the ally doesn't cancel treachery only? It cancels every encounter card. And like, I personally use it. Yeah, it does. It does recycle, but I've used it more to cancel really bad side schemes, like basically to cancel Legions of Hydra.
I think
You need Black Widow out. You need to have a mental resource in hand. It costs resources every time. And I think also you have to look at, you're still getting the cards, and if like you do that and then you get like concussive blow or something that damages your allies, she's just gone then and you got nothing.
Yeah, also I think you have to keep in mind that with, yeah, the ally could cancel those other kinds of cards, but with her hero, she probably has a bunch of preparations that deals with those cards when they come out. So I mean, it's essentially you're still dealing with the cards. It's but now you also get the added bonus of her ability as well. Like, I mean, if you look at the next card that we'll read in a second, Widow's Bite, like, yeah, the original could have canceled a minion, but this one, while it doesn't really cancel a minion, it affects that minion. It's gonna stun it.
Let me read it. Let me read that card right away. So it's a one cost upgrade, preparation tech, hero response. It's considered an attack. After a minion enters play, discard Widow's Bite. Deal 2 damage to that minion and stun it. How important is stunning minions?
It's an energy icon as well.
It's an energy, yeah. Yeah.
This card's going to be really good against like those boss minion encounter sets. Like, for example, you have your Masters of Evil. Now, any of those minions come out, they're going to get stunned. That already turns off the abilities of Tiger Shark, Melter,
Whirlwind,
and Radioactive Man. So like that already gets around all their abilities. It gets around Scorpion. It cancels the tough off of Sandman. I mean, it has so much use, and then you get that added bonus of stun.
I think the biggest thing is you don't have to deal, like a lot of these mains, like, I gotta deal with these, they're gonna hit me hard. But here, it's like, okay, I get a turn off, I can adjust my plan and deal with them next turn.
Yeah, you could deal with, you can concentrate on scheming, for example.
And with her ability, it's like, okay, I'll trigger some other stuff and I'll eventually kill them over the next couple turns.
It's also interesting that it helps stop both quick strike minions from attacking you right away before you have a chance to react. And also minions that come into play during the moment that the villain's attacking. Like, there are some ways that can happen. Also, some, if like the side scheme and something like Claw Elite, the second one, I mean the main scheme, when it advances, it brings a minion. So if it does it before the villain activates or during the villain activation and that minion would attack you, you can still stop it and not have to deal with that like nasty surprise.
Yeah, plus this I mean, I think in general a lot of like this card really it's just going to feed into her ability, and also the stun might not matter. I mean, it costs 1, you'll deal 2 damage and then you still get the added bonus of her damage. So I mean, that's 3. You could kill any of the you could kill the goblin thralls from Mutagen. I mean, this automatically will kill a weapons runner if it, and, but also you don't have to use it. You could just save it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would this work against a Madame Hydra that comes into play with Legion's Hydra? Will she still be stunned? Damage. You can't deal damage, but you can attack her. So
it doesn't say then stun. It says deal 2 damage and stun it. So I think you could still stun her, but you don't deal the damage. But that stun becomes very useful because like you have to deal with the scheme first, then you have to kill her, and so yeah, you can spread that over 2 turns, and she's not attacking you, not increasing the scheme in that time.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's also important to note against MODOK, it's MODOK's still going to retaliate against you, but if you get this and Shadows of the Past comes up, I mean it's 2 damage to Taskmaster, and you get to stun him. So I mean that's not bad on its own.
Well, if Shadows of the Past comes up, I'm hoping I have a grappling hook because yeah, I don't want to deal with Taskmaster.
Okay, moving on. I think we should do it at the end. I think it's a very interesting Nemesis, but let's finish with her cards. Sure. Do we want to do Covert Ops and Dance of Death?
Let's save that for the review. We'll focus on
The preparations. I think the next one was Safe House.
Yeah, Safe House 29.
I can read that one.
Sure.
So it's a 1 cost support, Safe House number 29. Location shield, and it's an alter ego action. Exhaust it and choose a preparation card in your discard pile. Add that card to your hand with it as a physical icon. But this card's really good. I mean, you use that grappling hook and then you flip back and now you get your grappling hook right back. I mean, you can pull cards back and use them as resources. You can pull them back, play them, and then you draw a card. I really like this.
Yeah, this is a really strong reason to go into Alter Ego, because you flip, return a card to hand, play it for draw, next turn, pull another into hand, play it, and draw another card, and then you flip back into your mode. I definitely would want to be flipping as much as I could.
Something interesting, too, is that I think this is the first time that we get a direct from discard pile into hand card. Because Stark Tower only does the topmost tech upgrade. So you have to kind of like work around that. But with this one, Thor. You just do whatever you want, what you need. Thor?
Yeah, he grabs directly the hammer.
Asgard with for Asgard.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is make the call is can hit anything.
But this, I think. But it's not a very common ability, I don't think, to pull whatever you want. So that, I mean, you were right on that. I mean, it's not very common.
And it definitely is going to help her flexibility a lot, because you're going to need, like, you know, you're going to want that grappling hook back in some scenarios. You're going to want that widow's back. And you can that ability to choose just make it great. And since it's a support, then you're just it's not costing you something to use this ability, so you're getting an extra card too. This counts as a draw to a certain degree too.
Yeah. Plus, and oh my god. Plus, if you're paired with Iron Man and he has Stark Tower, I mean, you can get a preparation card back, and then Stark Tower can pull you one back to your hand too. Like, I think her and Iron Man will make a good team, at least.
Before we continue, I mean, I know we said we weren't going to talk about it, but I think I would like to mention Dance of the Dead real quick, because there's an interesting thing that we were discussing earlier today with and the Excel School Discord about how this card is worded versus what we're used to. And even though it's worded differently, it's consistent with the way the rule reference works. So Dance of the Dead is a 3-cost event. It's traded as an attack. It says hero action, but it does not say attack in parentheses. And then it says make the following 3 attacks in order. You deal 1 damage to an enemy, deal 2 damage to an enemy, and deal 3 damage to an enemy. So it was being argued if that card would like trigger off a stun or not. What's interesting is that the event itself doesn't have that like attack, like the action, the original action doesn't have the attack. So you're not triggering the stun. But then when you do the 3 attacks, one of them is going to have to go off of the stun.
Yeah, I believe the 1 damage cancels
the stun. Definitely the first one.
Which
makes it makes very interesting that it seems that like Black Widow is going to be able to deal with certain situations that other heroes can't. And even though she doesn't seem like a direct powerhouse the way that Thor and Captain America look from the start, but it seems like she's going to have a lot of very options that allow her to respond to whatever's happening at the moment in a very precise way. And I think Matt should go with Agent Coulson.
Okay, so Agent Coulson is an ally. He's 3 cost, 2 thwart, 1 attack with 1 consequential damage for each. He's shield and spy. He's got 3 health. Response: after Agent Coulson enters play, search your deck and discard pile for a preparation card and add it to your hand. Shuffle your deck. He's got a mental resource, and obviously fits very well in with a Black Widow, because he gets you those preparations you want. I think the interesting thing is that shuffle your deck is a separate line of text. So when you play him, you're always shuffling your deck. So keep that in mind if you're stacking things like with Miss Marvel.
Yeah, I think this ally, this and the next card, the Preparation Injustice, is going to replace... I think this ally for me is going to replace Jessica Jones in a lot of my Justice decks, as if I'm including the next card. His stat line, I mean, it's good. It matches up with health.
Sam, I think you should start from the beginning because you got up through most of your argument.
All right. I have no clue what's going on. I think for Coulson, he's going to replace Jessica Jones for me in most decks as long as I include the next card and any other preparations we might get. Because, I mean, his stat line is on par with Agent 13 and Hellcat, at least. And the ability to just search your deck for a card, I think, is just really good. Even though it's limited to preparations, you're still pulling out what you want.
Jessica, for me, provides damage, and I like that a lot. Like, it's good for that, but... And she can also scale up much higher for thwarting, up to, like, 3 or even 4, depending on the scenario.
I think it depends on...
I have a little bit of a problem with this card, flavor-wise, is the 3 hit points. Do you see, like, that's too much for just a regular human?
I mean, not really.
I don't think hit points are necessarily for how tough they are as a superhuman. Like, Hawkeye's fully health, and he's a regular guy, too. It's just how many times you can use them, partially.
Oh, well.
Besides, Coulson has a little...
by shield.
He's got a hollow shield.
What do you mean?
In the TV show, he loses a hand, and he gets it replaced with a metal one, and he can create a holographic Captain America shield out of it.
Really?
Oh. I stopped watching the TV show before that. I remember him losing the hand. I don't remember that already.
Are you talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
I stopped watching that after the Captain America Winter Soldier tie-in when what's-his-face is like, I'm Hydra, and he was like a villain the whole time. I thought the show was stupid after that.
I actually thought that's when the show got better. Like, that's a better part of the show.
Oh, yeah, that's where most people think it got better. I really like that twist, because, like, it didn't completely nullify everything that came before. Oh, and there's spoilers, people, but it's been 5 years, so...
And it's on Netflix, so, like, I think it's still on Netflix. I haven't watched in a while. I can't get through the first season again.
It's not on Netflix up here.
Which one was the one of the main team that was Hydra?
Ward.
He was like...
Yeah, true.
But, AKA Vanilla.
Didn't he get like possessed or something? I thought he was good and then got possessed. Or was he bad before
he... He got hit by a mind controller, but he was able to not reveal that he was a secret Hydra agent. But then he revealed he was Hydrogen. It's funny because he was considered the most boring character before that. But after, he became one of the most complex.
Yeah, I'm remembering now. I remember. And he actually, as an actor, did a much better job when he was a villain than when he was just a...
Oh, yeah. No. If you look at him when he was acting as a good guy, it was so well done. Like, he knew ahead of time. And he was the only one ahead of time who knew about it.
Yeah. Interesting. I think the problem that arose in that show was that, like, the MCU is just so... It was really good at the time, except for a spare couple movies. I think that's when Thor the Dark World came out, and that movie was...
Yes.
Okay. And then you had the TV shows, which are, like, not nearly anywhere as good, until you had, like, some of the Netflix shows, which were good, but then all got canceled, so...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'd say seasons 2 to 4, is peak MCU, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you have to sit through the first three.
I finished 3, but I didn't do 4. That's how where I got.
2 and 3 are good. 4 is probably the best, and then it starts to go downhill as they get budget cuts and stuff.
I'll probably rewatch it, but I couldn't get past it. I tried rewatching it, and I couldn't get past the first season. It just... So boring.
I mean, before we... Well, let's get back on track. So, let's read Counterintelligence. It's a 2-cost upgrade. It's a preparation skill. It's Justice, so it's not a Black Widow card. This is a Justice card that you can include in any deck. Max 1 per player. Interrupt. When any amount of threat will be placed on the main scheme, discard Counterintelligence. Prevent 3 of that threat, and it has an energy resource.
This card's good.
It's very good.
I like it for solo. Like, this is an answer to the solo issue of Advanced.
Yeah, especially since you don't... It's not a forced interrupt. I mean, like, this will save you some games. If you... There were some games the other day I was playing against Mutagen where he kept advancing the first scheme on the first turn, and... I would have loved to have something like this on that, because it just, and again with in Rhino, I mean, Advance is, people have been complaining about Advance since the game came out. Here's your counter.
Yeah,
this card counters Rhino in solo.
To compare, this is basically for Justice without the rider, but you can prepare it ahead of time. So, and it's a prevention instead of just after the fact, and prevention is, I'd say, usually better.
Yeah, but since it is worded the same way as emergency, you do have to trigger this. Or no, it's not. I think emergency you have to play before. This one you can trigger it when you know the amount of threat. So I think that makes this card even better for me, is that if I know the amount of threat, then I'm going to trigger this. If it's only like 1 or 2, obviously I'm not going to do this unless I have to.
Yeah, you could wait for that game-defining moment where the boost is going to decide if you're going to lose or not, and just use this card to cancel that. Did we quick mention about, like, you mentioned Mutagen, Sam. Me and Matt had Green Goblin finish Mutagen in one go, his second scheme in one go yesterday.
To be fair, we left him with Hysteria.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But he advanced with the normal scheme that you add before he starts scheming, and we lost right there.
Yeah, well,
before we got to play.
A quick teaser for a game I'm going to post on our channel soon. I had a random game set up when I was playing against Expert Mutagen, and I kept having him flip the first scheme because I was playing Protection Iron Man. That was my random one. And he kept flipping the first scheme. And then my first time I tried it, he got to the villain phase. I don't know when it was exactly, but he dealt a damage to me and I forgot to put the threat on, but then he dealt another damage to me later in the same turn. And so I forgot, and then I remembered to put the threat on, and then I realized I forgot it the first time, and I like lost right there. So I love that scenario.
Okay, so should we do the next one as well?
Yeah. The next one is Taskmaster. Should we discuss the Nemesis a little?
No, there's still one other preparation they revealed.
Oh yeah, the leadership preparation.
I can do this one. So not Justice isn't the only one getting fun. Each of the other aspect cards and the basic in Black Widow will come with a preparation, so everybody can have the fun and you can try her in different aspects. So we've got Rapid Response. It's a 2-cost upgrade, a preparation tactic traded. It's also max 1 per player, and it has Hero Response. After an ally you control is defeated, discard Rapid Response. Put that ally into play from your discard pile and deal 1 damage to it. And this is amazing.
It's so good. I mean,
to note, it's an after, so they go into discard, then they come into play. So you get to trigger all put into play effects, like with Falcon or Maria Hill.
Or like, Nick Fury.
Right, you could totally bring back Nick Fury at the... you could defend with Nick Fury, bring him back, and then draw 3 cards for the next turn. Even though he's still going to go away at the end of the turn, you still got 3 extra cards. This card's so good.
I mean, even in multiplayer, this card can be really, really good with Nick Fury because you get to defend twice, and then you I can't imagine starting a turn with Nick Fury's card draw without having to pay for him.
Is just a straight auto include in most leadership decks now?
Kinda.
It depends on the leadership deck, I guess, because like sometimes it just doesn't fit in your game plan and just keep replaying. But it can help enable an Avengers Assemble turn. It can enable Maria Hill mass hug deck, where everybody just gets cards, because you can use this, play this, use her, because it comes with 1 damage. She immediately gets discarded again. And you can play these multiple times as long as you have them in your hand.
Well, it's max 1 per player, though. Get what you're saying.
After you use it, then you play a new one, then you attack with, then you thwart with her. She goes, triggers it again, and you just keep doing that. And then, hey, look, we'll use Make the Call, and we'll play her 7 times in 1 turn.
That's what I think makes this card so amazing, because it wouldn't have surprised me if they would have said, deal 1 damage to it and exhaust it. But no, it comes into play ready, which means you can, like, if the ally is dying when you're using it, then you could just, you know, use it again. You can take that, you know, take Maria Hill's, you're thwarting 1, 2, 3 times with her in a turn. It's pretty good.
And this is with Sharon Carter, too, or Agent 13. She gets defeated, you put her back in, you get to remove 2 more threat. Like, I really love this card. I can't anything but good things with this card. But I do have a question. If you make the call an ally from someone else's discard pile, can you trigger this on that ally if they go back to that person's discard pile?
No. Because it says put that item into play from your discard pile and deal 1 damage to it.
Okay, so I was going to say you could steal, if no one's playing Black Widow Hero, you could steal someone else's Black Widow and make sure she sticks around. But I guess.
I think that's meant to control the power of the card a little and to prevent some confusion. But it seems that you cannot use this on another allies. I do think it opens up the possibility for a very interesting Black Widow deck where you try to recur Falcon. Like, this is a solo deck that I'm thinking about, where you recur Falcon and you really, you get to know what's coming from the top of the encounter deck, and you kind of like, you know, do your preparations and you're even more prepared for everything that's going and be even more controlling.
Yeah, I do love this with Falcon. I think that's, I mean, you're scrying 3 cards, and then you can have him defend and just scry 3 more cards. Like, that's not bad. Like Matt said, with Avengers Assemble, you play this, You use your allies, and then you Avengers assemble them, use them again. If one of them dies, you get it right back, and then they can still attack or thwart.
It's a great way to refresh Hawkeye and Ultron and Time Trigger. You're using him a lot. I really like this card, and it's only going to get better. If leadership gets three, or I really like this either for stuff like Mary Hill or for allies that have three health, where paying two for a high cost ally is great. It's okay. It's not an issue.
Yeah. I also think this is going to be good tech against Wrecking Crew because of the one who deals one damage to each of your allies. Now you can pull one of them back and they just have one damage on them. That's not bad.
Yeah, true. And it's also like the good thing is that if you don't use this the turn that you play it, or at least the phase that you play it, then it's money that you're spending out of turn, which does not affect your turn. So you're bringing back a costly ally on a turn that you're not paying for it. And yeah, that's always good.
I think this is what I wanted Quinjet to be. I wanted Quinjet to be something like this. And I'm glad we got
I like
this.
Quinjet. I've grown on Quinjet a lot.
I have too. It's just hard to play it late game for me.
I'm in the deck that I'm running in at the moment, my big Captain Marvel 50 card deck. I like it, and I only use one copy. And I think that there's no reason to have multiple copies on it on board. That's just wasting your time. But even late game, you play it and then you use it to bring a Maria Hill. You use it to bring a Wonder Man into play. And
you can't target Maria Hill.
It feels great. It feels great. It really helps you. It smooths out turns. So a single Quinjet in a deck is something that, in a leadership deck, is something that I recommend almost blindly.
Yeah. I know in the stream, they said that, like, obviously she's going to get a preparation for everything, every aspect, but they said particularly the protection one is going to be really good with Black Widow, so I'm very excited to see what that does, but they couldn't spoil it for us today. So I think we should...
Yeah, it's got to be a long wait.
Yeah, I think we should talk about Taskmaster, and I can read him real quick. Taskmaster is the nemesis of Black Widow with zero scheme and zero attack, both with stars next to them and 4 hit points. He's a Hydra elite, and Taskmaster, the star, is he gets +1 scheme and +1 attack for each upgrade you control, and he has a boost of, for this activation, the villain gets +1 scheme and +1 attack for each upgrade you control. That boost is gonna kill heroes, guaranteed. If Iron Man sees this as a boost, he's just done.
We lost Matt.
Oh no, he left.
I saw it. I didn't see that.
He wasn't prepared.
Wrote it in the chat. He wasn't prepared enough for today. Let me wait a moment to so you can edit this simpler. I really like Taskmaster. I really like him as a boost. I don't fear him as an ally, because I feel that almost all the time, like, dealing 4 damage is not that hard.
No,
so it doesn't matter how strong he gets, you're gonna get rid of him very easily. But I really like his boost, and I like what it does, because the first time that I saw it, I was like, this is unfair, this is gonna kill you. And then I took a deep breath and thought about all those other horrible things and all the horrible shadows we get in games like Lord of the Rings. And what I'm thinking is like, well, there's a lot of things you can do to prepare for it. Like, if you're playing solo, for example, and you know this is in the deck, then try to consider controlling the number of upgrades you have. Like, don't go all in on all preparations. Maybe scale it back a little, because you know you can get surprised by that and you can lose the game to a scheming villain that gets boosted by Taskmaster. And if you're playing multiplayer, then the scheming part becomes a little less scary. Unless Iron Man's on the table, but he should be scheming enough that you keep that schema close to zero. And when it comes to defending, you just gotta try to do it a little bit more with the allies and just make sure, you know, just try to be aware that it is. And I think that the card is not going to kill that many heroes as you think, but it's definitely going to impact how people play a lot when it's inside the deck.
Yeah, I think Taskmaster is one of those minions that is asking to be killed, because I think his boost is more impactful than the ally itself.
You mean like the design is to kill him so he goes, it's easier to get him back to the encounter deck?
Because
that's interesting.
Especially, I mean, with Widow's Bite and Black Widow's attack itself, she can just straight out kill Taskmaster. Like the turn he enters, or well, I guess the turn after he enters, because it would enter in the villain phase. So it's like, I think he was designed that he up front appears really scary, as like he has there's so many attacks, so many scheme. But I think the secret really lies in that he wants to be in the encounter deck and he wants to be drawn as a boost, because I mean, like you said, 4 hit points isn't that many. Especially when you can just
out. You know what's it? You know what's interesting though, is that if the preparation defense for Black Widow, you might be able to use it if you get this as a boost. So you might be. You might be able to lower how much he's boosting.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think, like we saw with the rapid response and Falcon, I mean, you can basically try and find to see where this card is in the deck too and plan around that. So I think Taskmaster is, if you're not thinking about him, if you're not prepared... There he is. If you're not prepared, he could be a big impact. But I think as soon as you start, once you start worrying about him, you're probably going to play a little more pulled back than you normally would, just in case something happens. I really like it. I think Taskmaster.
I like that. And I'm really intrigued by cards that the presence makes you change the way you play, and I think that's very interesting.
What's the difference between the article and the
In the article it specifies that it is Black Widow's minion, a nemesis.
Oh.
So that could hint maybe that there's more minions in this set.
My guess is we might get a villain that says search your nemesis set for your nemesis minion and put it into play, engage with you, or something similar.
Maybe.
I really hope
it's so. Interesting. Thank you listeners for coming in and for joining us live. This is all we have for you guys today. Sam, take us out.
Excelsior, onwards and upwards.